We have a series in this book of beginnings. We have looked at God's mighty and original creation. We've looked at the great Creator and the elements of His creation in the last two Lord's days. And this morning we come to the climax of God's creation. The climax of God's creation. We commence reading at verse 26 of Genesis 1. This is still the sixth day of creation. And we must be getting toward the end of the day. The beasts of the earth, the cattle after their kind, and the creeping things God created on the sixth day, the beginning of the sixth day, and it says that He saw that it was good. But He didn't cease there. Aren't you glad that He continued with His creation? And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat or for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for food, for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and He made. He that hath ears to hear God's word, let him hear. The climax of God's creation. This morning I want us to look at the special features of God's creation of man. Special aspects of God's creation of man. We are creatures. We have been made by the Creator. The only Creator. There's only one God. He is in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God made us, and not we ourselves. You know, this chapter of God's creation is coming to a crescendo, if you will. In our life, we have times where we come to the crescendo of our experience, of excitement, when the bride arrives walking down the aisle, is a memorable crescendo of our experience, isn't it, men? When the birth of a baby occurs, it's a tremendous moment in your life. When someone wakes from a coma, or there's a salvation of a soul in your midst. Just the other night, when we had fellowship at the Moody's, we were sharing, I was talking with Jeremy about Jonathan's salvation and the work of the Lord in his heart. And I just asked Jeremy about his own experience that night at the Lord's, when we had the Lord's Supper, and the Lord worked in his heart. I just asked him what went on in his mind, and I had no idea. Just like I knew something was happening, there was some stirring in the Oberhof pew a couple weeks ago, but I didn't know what it was. For all I know, it could have been a spider in the pew, or for all I know, it could have been just something, some news that they had received outside, you know, out from the outside. It was wonderful to know what God was doing there. And I had no idea what was going on in Jeremy's heart. Matter of fact, I particularly remember thinking, you know, there were times Spurgeon said that he wished that he didn't have to meet the people after the service, that he could just hope that somebody could saw a hole underneath him and he could just drop down and disappear. How often that occurs. And colleagues say at times that they wish that they just ask the Lord, shouldn't I be looking at the want ads for the next week? But I remember distinctly going downstairs and just going to get a drink and just thinking, Lord, I need your power. I need enjoyment of your word. And I guess it was just self-centeredness. And all of a sudden I heard footsteps, and I heard many footsteps after that. Jeremy came down by himself and just threw himself on me. Like Jonathan threw himself on everybody a couple weeks ago. And then all the kids, from Jessica on down, just came running. It was like a train behind him. Not a train as in locomotive, but, you know, a bridal train of all the kids just amazed and curious. They saw that there was animation, there was excitement in Jeremy. And they were all excited. These are moments to capture. The sudden moving of God in the midst, the sudden moving of God in your hearts are memorable experiences that you want to be repeated. I know the Lord's slow, methodical, faithful work in our hearts should never be denigrated or should never be unappreciated. But there are times when God gives growth spurts, if you will. We can remember at times when we would take the children's height and all of a sudden there was a lot more during the previous few days or the previous month and the previous. There are times when God suddenly moves, as the Bible says, is that God came suddenly to His temple and He'll come suddenly to His people. Well, this chapter is giving us a crescendo. You have the light appearing on the first day and the separation of the light and the darkness. And the second day you have the heavens and the division of the waters, that is the atmosphere between the earth's waters and space. You have in day three the collection of the waters into seas and the emerging of the dry land called earth. And the vegetation and trees and bushes and so on. Then day four, you have the sun, moon, and stars, and of course the planets and the galaxies. Day five, you have the sea and the air creatures. Day six begins with the land creatures, those that walk and those that crawl. And rather than stopping, it all comes, as it were, to a climax, to a crescendo. Noted by the fact that God doesn't just say, and God said, let there be man. God said, let man appear. And God said, let us make man in our image. You have a climax being shown here. The climax of the six-day creation. And I think sometimes we look at the creation days and we think that they just happen. You know, all the creation it happened in just a few seconds, but the Lord just let 24 hours pass. I think that the Lord was, of course, what I think doesn't matter, but it tells us He could have created in 6 minutes and 6 seconds or 6,000 years if He wanted to. But the evening and the morning indicate indeed that He created in 6 days. But it seems to me that throughout the day there was slow, methodical, and spectacular creation going on. One creature after another. One variety of the kind after another. Not all the varieties, because no doubt the varieties were built in to the few kinds that were made at the beginning. But yet that it was a slow motion, if you will, process. And I wonder if the angels thought this must be it. And they must have thought how spectacular it was. And that they must be the only intelligent life that God will create, that God will make. But lo and behold, the end of the sixth day, at the end of creation, is the apex of God's creative work. The Bible concludes that the previous work that God had done was good, over and over, and God saw that it was good. But it seems like there's excitement in the Lord here. Where the Bible tells us that what God now saw at the end of the 6 days was that it was very good. Why would God say that things were good previous to this, and then after man was created, he said all things were very good? I think that it's remarking upon that apex of God's creation on the sixth day. This morning I want us to consider the special features of God's creation of man. Now these should humble us to think that God made us special creatures. We should be thankful to the Lord for making us. And it should motivate us especially to praise Him for not only His goodness in making us, but the display of His glory and His grace that even after we sinned against Him, that He didn't destroy us. That He would remake us in His image and His likeness, after Christ especially, in righteousness and in true holiness. The climax of God's creation. I think that this feature should certainly be noted. And I don't know, we can hardly plumb the depths of this. But consultation and the delight of the Trinity occurred in the creation of man. You don't read this anywhere else in any of the other creations of God. Not even of the angels, as glorious as those creatures are. We find here that there's consultation and the delight of the Trinity. Drew read that section in Proverbs 8 where the Lord Jesus is the personification of wisdom said, "And my delights were with the sons of men." Of all that He created, and there were spectacular creations of color and shapes and sizes and creatures, where the sons of God, the angels, rejoiced. And yet, the Lord says, "My particular delight was with the sons of men." That was the apex of my creation. Whereas it said, and God said previously, "Let this occur, let that come into being." It says, now that the Trinity is involved, that the three persons, as we know from the rest of Scripture, indicated by the us and the we, are involved. In other words, it's indicating the solemnity of what's going to occur. And God said, "Let us," and before it goes on, that is introducing something of a solemn nature, even more spectacular than what went on before, that the Lord is revealing that so special was the creation of man that, as it were, the three persons of the Trinity, before they continued, they consulted together. Of course, in eternity past, that plan was already in God's mind and forethought. But after the creation of the land animals, and all the variety and the beauty, the appropriateness, the Lord stops and says, now it's time for us to make man in our image and in our likeness. This is so clearly revealing that God is not only unique, He's the only living and true God, but He's also a plurality. At least two. Let us make man in our image. But the Bible reveals later that it's three. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. My delights, our delights, are with the sons of men. God had a particular pleasure in making man, is what it's saying. No evolutionary process or accident. We are created by the living and true God. We are the result of the consultation of the Trinity, the secret subject of the Trinity. How special it is, how humbling it is. And David would indicate, even after the fall, and especially after the fall, Psalm 8, what is man? Even man, as much as it was special to God and unique and the apex of His creation, yet what is man when I consider the vastness of creation? When all inanimate creation and even the animals obey God's will, and yet how rebellious we are against Thee. That David would go on to say later how much even a man after his own heart could sin against the Lord. But Lord, why are we so special to You? When the universe shows us how great and enormous You are, what is man? We are the result of the will and wisdom of God. Therefore, we are accountable to Him. Do you know there is one other creation, if you will, one other element that particularly brought out the consultation of the Trinity and the consultation of the Godhead? Zechariah tells us the counsel of peace was between them both. And this refers to the incarnation of God and the atonement of Jesus Christ. That God consulted to make man, but when we fell, He consulted to save men by the incarnation of God. So this, the Lord wasn't done creating, if you will. He created the God-man. He created the incarnation of God in the future. And of course, how our souls are created things, aren't they? Our bodies, we can say, indeed, are procreated. That there's an argument, well, do our souls come from Adam? Are souls individual creations of God? We know that our sinful natures pass down from Adam. But what are souls? Each one of us made in the image of God. The special feature of the first special feature noted of God's creation of man was that He consulted. It was the delight of the Trinity. It should humble our hearts and challenge us to live to the glory of God. To live so that the angels and those who reject such a good and gracious and glorious God will say that God has a people that reflect His delight in His image. Which is the second thing that we note. The special creation of God, as far as man's concerned, was the reflection of His divine image and likeness. The Bible does not indicate that angels were made in His image and likeness. No animals, no earthly or air creatures were made in His image and likeness. The Lord says, let us make man after our image, after our likeness. And He repeats it for emphasis, that man was made in His image and His likeness. And believe me, it's not an easy thing to pinpoint, but it's a special thing to think about. People ask, what does it mean that God, we're made in God's image and likeness? Is there a difference between image and likeness? Or are they just, is it just emphasizing that we are reflections of God in a special way? Is it intelligence that monopolizes this thought? Certainly not. Angels are very intelligent. There are creatures on earth that are incredibly intelligent. They have concluded that bees, in order to send other bees miles away, do a certain dance. And the circle of the dance gets wider, and they have a particular way in which they point by their orientation to the sun, even on cloudy days. That bees which find nectar come back to the nest, and just by a little dance, they tell everybody where the flower is, where the bush is, where the tree is. There are animals and insects with amazing intelligence. So it can't be intelligence alone. Is it strength? No, because the angels are stronger than we. Is it eternity? No, because angels are going to live somewhere forever. Is there anything in our bodies, the way that our bodies are made? I think there's something involved there. Of all the creatures that have bodies, our bodies are upright and our foreheads are upright. Is there any significance in the fact that God made us vertical so that we might point to God, so that we might look to Him for grace, for His goodness, for worship, for direction, for wisdom? What is it that we're made in His image and likeness? Is it love? That we have particular fellowship with God that's deeper and more intimate than any creature, even the angels? For all creatures are commanded to praise Him. When you and I have fellowship with God, we're talking here before man fell in a unique way. Is it that we're made with benevolence, that man is made to have benevolence, goodness, as God is good? Is it speaking of original righteousness, that God made man upright, conformed to His law? But then again, we would say the angels have a righteousness. That we're made with the ability to converse with God with language right from the beginning. Some say, did Adam have the ability to write? Well, Adam had the ability to speak right away, to commune with his God. He had language. And certainly, man was not made a caveman. And if Adam could write, no doubt he did write, because Adam spoke. We were made with a conscience, with law upon our hearts. In other words, God made man to be religious, first and foremost. To commune with Him in a special way that the angels could not. To reflect Him to angels and to the rest of creation. And no doubt the element of dominion over His creatures. To reflect His sovereignty over all. That God was pleased to delegate some of His authority so that we might spread that evidence all over the earth. Spiritual union and communion with God. We were made religious people from the beginning. We were made to commune with God, to reflect Him in our character and our behavior, which perhaps is the way to divide image and likeness. Image is speaking of our character and likeness of our behavior and our actions due to that character. That we are made spiritual beings and moral beings and cognizant beings. That we were made to worship the Lord. And man has become like the beasts of the earth. His Word has been given to us. And there are homes that don't have the Bible in them. There are homes where the Bible is collecting dust. where men and women are more concerned about golf courses and malls than entering the house of God to worship the God of the universe. We have become worse than animals. Even animals give evidence of reflecting that they are creatures. It's just an amazing thing to me to see an animal after you feed it. They go to the food, and it seems they start to eat, and then they stop and turn back as if they're saying thank you to the owner. I don't know if your animal does that. I've seen our cats do it time and time and time again. I put food in their dish, and they come running to the dish, and they start to taste it, and they stop, and they turn around as if they say thank you. Or you may say, I'm a lunatic. But the Bible speaks of animals, Psalm 148, of the creatures praising God, of God feeding His lions and feeding His creatures. And yet you go into restaurants, men and women and boys and girls made in the image of God, given an eternal soul. And the food is put there on the table. It's come from God above. And what do? They rush into it, into a slop like pigs, without any reflection of a divine provider. Are we too ashamed to bow our heads and give thanks to God? Are we too ashamed somebody's going to think that we know the Lord? We go to a dinner table and do something like this before we eat? Are we too ashamed to acknowledge that the God of heaven is here, that we won't take a few seconds to bow our hearts and our heads to give thanks to the God of heaven? We've been made in God's image and likeness. God made us on the eve of the first Sabbath day, the end of the sixth day. And I keep coming back to that, the goodness of God. As far as we can tell, God didn't make Eve until after the seven-day creation, or the six-day creation, and after the Sabbath day. I don't believe that He made Eve on the first Sabbath day. It was a day of rest. So Adam had a whole day with God all by himself. The very first day that man lived on the earth, the first full day was the Lord's day, was the Sabbath day. Is this day special to you? Because you can be alone with God? Is it special to you because you can come to His house? That you can pull away from the mundane things of life? Were you glad when your parents woke you this morning and said, let us go to the house of the Lord? Were you glad when you woke up today? Oh, let's not be hypocrites. There are days that we don't wake up glad. We may be sad. Where we look to our God and say, Lord, let us encourage ourselves in Thee. Lord, smite my sadness. Remove my unwillingness. Lord, let me reflect Your image and likeness and desire to commune with Thee, to love Thee with all my heart and soul and mind and strength. What a privilege it is to worship the Lord. He has made us immortal creatures. Is this not reflective of God's eternity in a finite way? He has made us with forethought as a reflection of His providence. He has made us with intuition as a reflection of His intelligence. With benevolence as a reflection of His goodness. How good God has been to us. And how He wants us to fill the earth with His glory. To fill the earth with the knowledge of His will and the knowledge of His attributes. There's no doubt even man in his original creation, if they spread out all the earth as perfect man, if they had never sinned, they were to spread His truth all over the world to each other. And maintain the Sabbath day by meeting together in worship. I don't know how all that would have worked out in man's innocence, but the day's coming, it's going to work out in the new heavens and in the new earth. Thirdly, God made man a race of people by procreation. Let them, that is, He anticipated they would be male and female, although there was only one at that point. Let them have dominion over the face of the earth. He made man male and female when He finally made Eve. You see, angels are a company. They're not a race. Angels don't get married. Angels don't have babies. Angels didn't mix with women. Genesis chapter 6. Adam is our ancestor. Adam was our representative. Adam and Eve were our first parents. God establishes religion in the first place when He makes us in His image and likeness. God establishes marriage, the family, society, and the church when He makes us a race of people to procreate. Male and female created He them. He makes it very clear that man is to be in a heterosexual relationship in marriage. The family, our sons and daughters. The church would comprise families. The word church, by the way, in Greek and in Latin, is belonging to the Lord. God would establish a public covenant with His people. He made Eve and brought her to Adam. God shows that marriage should be first publicly before God and with men as witnesses. God made Eve and He brought her to Adam. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. So the marriage is a covenant before God and a public ceremony before men to acknowledge God as their Creator, to acknowledge that that is only pure in a monogamous state, and that the only relationship of marriage is heterosexual. We're a race of people by procreation. How good God is to give us marriages, to give us families, to give us brothers and sisters, and to those who aren't married and cannot and won't have sons and daughters, He unites them in church families, to know what it is to have a spiritual family in Christ. How good the Lord is. The angels had to choose one at a time to fall with Satan. But God made us so that Adam's choice would be our choice. Christ's choice would be our choice. That damnation is through one, and justification, salvation is through one. You don't like that? You're independent? You want to decide on your own? You're a creature. We submit to the will of God. Adam fell, and we all fell in Adam. Christ rose, and those in Christ rise with Him. Friend, if you're going to be saved, you're going to be in Christ. It'll be because of Christ's work. Trust in Him. You cannot save yourself. Just like our damnation came from our representative, and our actual sins prove that we have a rebellious heart, our salvation comes from a representative, and the proof of that will be, you shall know them by their fruits. A race of people by procreation. One blood. One ancestor. One Savior. Fourthly, we were given the rule over creation, delegated rule over creation. Subdue the earth. None of the creatures, none of the animals, none of the birds, not even the angels were told to subdue and have dominion over the earth. I think this is where Satan was stirred up. This is where Satan clenched his fists and bristled. When God said to man, be fruitful and fill the earth. Satan was smiling. He was enjoying that part. But he heard God say, and subdue it. And have dominion over the earth. Have dominion over the birds of the air. And the creatures that walk on the earth. And the fish of the sea. I thought that must have been precious to Adam. After he was made and began to have fellowship with God, we say, what did he have to do in a perfect world? How would a perfect man in a perfect world be able to subdue anything? Lord, how should I tame this plant? How should this plant grow properly? How do I prune this tree? How do we arrange things if we transplant? Was there not a domestication of the animals? Which one should be for locomotion? Which one should be to help in my work? Which one should remain wild, as it were, to be observed, to be enjoyed? Lord, how can I be a husband to this dear wife that you've given me? Lord, how are we to parent our children when you give them to us? Well, there was plenty to fellowship with God about. And of course, this is anticipatory, isn't it? It anticipates the fall. Which should we have for food? For fire? For locomotion in land, sea, and air? For construction? For irrigation? For recreation? I wonder if they rode any animals. I'm sure they did for recreation. For friendship, for clothing. God even anticipated the fall, and especially the fall when He talked about have dominion over. It's a sad thing when animals and fish have dominion over man. Reading lately, of course, in the summertime of shark attacks in the oceans. The attacks of bears in the parks, and lions in Africa. Man was to subdue the earth and have dominion over it. Does this include space exploration of air and sky and space? It certainly shows the glory of God. The further we explore, the more immense it is. But isn't there a limit? When we can spend billions of money on space exploration, if it's in vain to prove there's other life and there is no God. But even so, we spend billions on space exploration, people starve to death. Something wrong, isn't there? We're convinced in our exploration of the earth's uniqueness. We're humbled by our finiteness. But we're cautioned because we're able to explore space so much. We've got so much information now, so much of the ability to communicate, and so many new discoveries in technology and electronics. What we're doing is we're filling the earth with temptations at the same time. Yes, with discoveries that help us to reduce time. But we're filling the earth with temptations to idolatry, temptations to distract us from our time with God. And He says, you subdue it, but you have dominion over it. Don't you let it have dominion over you. And I fear this generation and the generations coming are tempted that all these things have dominion over us. We can't say no to this and no to that. It's the Lord's day, and we're craving these electronics rather than getting our Bible and going into a corner and going out into a field, going out to our stump and saying, oh God, I'm made in your image and likeness. This is the greatest privilege in the world, the fellowship with the God of heaven. I'm afraid, because of sin, that these things subdue us and have dominion over us. What a privilege to be regent over the earth. And yet, because of sin, we are beneath. Christ became lower than the angels to save us from our sins, and rising from the dead, greater than the angels as the Son of God, to restore our dominion over the earth. He says, "You shall rule over angels. You shall judge the world." And let us not allow these things to have dominion over us, brother and sister. Let us have dominion over our bodies and over all the discoveries and over the things that have been given to us by the Lord in this life. And let us redeem the time and serve the Lord. Finally, we're terrestrial and celestial beings. Angels are celestial beings. Animals and insects are strictly terrestrial, earthly beings. God made our body of the dust, but He made our souls ex nihilo, out of nothing, made in His image and likeness. Man is a creature of heaven and earth, finite and immortal, having a dual dimension. And I saw new heavens and a new earth. John was on Patmos at once, but he was told to come up thither. He was in heaven simultaneously. What a privilege to be terrestrial and celestial beings. I don't know how all this plays out, but what a privilege. Immense privilege. And that new heaven and the new earth will be precious to us. How shall we apply these truths to us as we conclude this morning? Remember that God is our Creator, that we have been made. What a privilege to be given His special attention. We are of heavenly and earthly dimension. Let us be faithful to worship the Lord and faithful to represent Him on the earth. The field is the world to enjoy, but may we not become worldly beings. The joy of having God's gifts while we may, a spouse, a family, a society, a congregation, to reflect His image and His likeness. And even after the fall, to be here today and still reflect on His special creation and His goodness and grace. Lord, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? And as we think of Christ as being the climax of the climax of God's creation, that is, the incarnation of God, the atonement. As God, He's no creation, He's the Creator. But as man, He's the creation of God. The incarnation of God is, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ are the greatest miracles that were ever performed. God becoming man to save us from our sins. The climax of God's creation. Special features of God's creating man. May they humble us. May they result in our praise of Him. May we live for His glory. For as it says in Revelation chapter 4, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and they were created. Let us pray. O God, Thou art the Creator of heaven and earth, the seas and all that in them is. Lord, we would remember afresh today our Creator in the days of our youth, in the days of our old age. We remember, Lord, that we are objects of Your wisdom and Your love and Your pleasure. We are accountable to Thee. We are ashamed, Lord, when we have not reflected Your image and likeness in this world. We are ashamed, Lord, when we are worldly, carnal, self-centered, being controlled by the discoveries that have been made because of Your wisdom and that which You have created. Lord, we humble ourselves before You today and ask to forgive our sins of idolatry, profaning of Your name, worshiping of Your gifts, worshiping the creature more than the Creator. Lord, please use us to magnify Your glory and Your goodness and Your grace. May we remember these features, Lord, so that we might be thankful and humble people, that we might not be ashamed to represent Thee in this world. For even our Lord Jesus restored that dominion when He said, "All power is given unto Me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Go and preach the gospel to every creature." Lord, I pray that as we have been restored to the image and likeness of the righteousness and holiness of Christ, that we would spread abroad His fame and preach without apology, without fear, the gospel of saving grace. Lord, restore our souls to a confidence in our God and a focus on the kingdom of God and to prioritize things in our lives. Deliver us from our idols and the idols of our hearts. May we surrender to Thee again today, our lives, to be lived for Your glory. Hear our prayers, O Lord, do exceeding abundant above all that we can ask or think. Thank You for creating us, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for making us Your special creation and for Your mercy in the idea of the incarnation of God and the atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ to save our wretched souls, our ungrateful souls. Thank You, Lord, for saving our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.